drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread! Cornbread! Cornbread!
Drink it in, man. Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers, what's going on, everybody? It's your host, Derek Oakley, right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid cast, talking about those Detroit Lions. And we got lots to get into today, some real quick news and notes, things going on with the football team, but the bulk of the show is going to be Detroit Lions draft combo meals, top three rounds, how can we mix some of these players up, what are some dream scenarios, what are some positions we can put in the mix for our team. And the back half of the show is going to be hashtag Choppy Maki versus the Okri Mock. What is this going to be? 6.0 for me. I probably have 7.0 on Friday. I mean, lots of fun draft content to get into. The draft is like 2 weeks away. You know, we can't talk about any of that without the one and only at Chops and the D. Choppy Chop, you're there. You're ready. You've promised you're not going to put anybody to sleep. You say you have content, you have mocks, you have takes. I'm ready to get into it, and I see some arguments coming on this show, no question. What's up, buddy?
No, all love today, Okri. There's going to be no arguments. There's going to be no bad blood. There's going to be, you know, no, we're all good.
Nope,
the draft
nope,
is
nope.
15 days away. The pavilion is halfway built. The arena is set. The Ford Field is ready to rock. The parties are scheduled. The tailgate is ready. Man, it's draft time, baby. Let's go.
Let's do this. We can't mess around. So rapid fire news and notes. I mean, Chops, you know I'm jersey guy. I'm uniform guy. We're less than like a week or so away. It's the 18th. I think it's there's been real no teases, no leaks. We did get news here right before we got recording that there are some jersey number changes. Broderick Martin going from 98 to 99. Big fella. We've got DJ Reader checking in with 98. How about my boy H2O going from number 12 to number 2? You think that's a coincidence, Chops, or do you think he listened to the pod? We both know the answer to that. We got our boy from North Carolina, the wide receiver, going from 80 to 18. A couple other ones in the mix. Lions changing uniforms. And you hit on like the big, you know, thing going up here in Detroit. I was trying to get a feel. I saw it was like near Monroe. Just an absolutely huge setup that they're working on. I really hope it turns out incredible. Hopefully everybody shows out for that thing, because it is our basically once in our lifetime that we'll probably have the draft here in Detroit. So if you love that type of thing and go down and do it. I'm going to be here in the DTO scouting office putting in work. Me and you will be on the pod talking Lions, talking draft picks. So all that, how you feeling about draft prep, uniforms? I know you cannot wait to break down the number changes. That's tops of your list, I'm sure.
I mean, the number one thing for me on the number changes is Nate Sudfield is going from 10 to 8. Okri, breaking news. He's the great number 8, Nate Sudfield. No, I don't give a rip about number changes. You know I don't really care about the jersey setups, which I know you get excited about. Yeah, great. Okay, cool. You know, I'm just going to stick with my girl, the great Natalie Sparbeck, with the blueberries and the marshmallows and the poo-poo jerseys, or all black, whatever you want to call them. I really, whatever. That's your thing. I know you're excited about it. But, you know, all those fans that bought those the Z Knight jerseys, he went from 28 to 27, people. What are you going to do now? You got to contact the NFL to get that 8 removed and put a nice 7 on there.
Chops, your whole take especially when you mentioned fruits with our uniforms and other types of delicatessens. I mean, Charles hit it.
That's terrible.
Absolutely terrible. I cannot wait to see what they do. They better get these uniforms right. But nothing else going on. One other thing, one other news and notes, Chops. This past weekend, we had WrestleMania 40 in your favorite city of Philadelphia. We had, like, over a few day span, like 200,000 tickets sold to all these different events. We had Cody Rhodes finish his story against Roman Reigns, 4 years with the belt, no longer has it. My question to you, I don't need your wrestling take. I don't need you to tell me how it's not real or how you're not a fan or how you never go to an event, even though you'd probably have the time of your life. You know, we play the drops here on the show. I want to ask you, will the Detroit Lions finish their story in 2025? I recently saw a tweet that had Texans, Lions, Super Bowl. I don't even think I have to finish the tweet telling you who's going to win that ball game. But do they get to the big game? Do they finish their story? Are we the talk of the National Football League again in 2025, just like Cody Rhodes was at WrestleMania?
So let me get this straight, okay? I just want to make sure here. You're comparing the Lions. The Lions are Cody Rhodes, and the Kansas City Chiefs as the back-to-back defending champions are Roman Reigns. And will the Lions finish their story? I'm going to one-up you. They won't finish their story. They're going to start their story by winning the Super Bowl in 2025, okay? That's the start of the story. The legacy begins. It's not ending. The story is not over.
Hashtag choppy liking.
And you know what? And just for that, I'm going to give you the live drop. How's that?
Oh, it sounded crispy. We've continued to work on microphones. We're getting better, people. And we always have fun when we do this show. So I would love that if the Lions story started with them taking out Patrick Mahomes or any other team in the big game. But quite the weekend for wrestling fans. We had fun with that. But Choppy Chop, another question for you. We're talking NFL draft combo meals. I mean, I'm just curious to you. Like, back in the day when I was coming up and a tiny fella, you know, the mother would take me as a reward oftentimes to the fast food restaurant. I have to admit, it's been months and months, maybe even more than a calendar year or two since I've really been through a drive-thru. But what are a couple classic combo meals that at Chops and the D or your kids or your family would do? Because I know the 20-piece nugget was always incredible, if to even think you could put that down. How about the Baconator, which is just like three slabs of meat, eight slabs of bacon? I mean, who should have that? No one should ingest that thing. Back in the day, Chops, you know what I did? I think it was Wendy's. Every blue moon, I'd get the chicken cordon bleu combo. And then the other thing I did when I was younger, which is strange, but I still do it. I don't need all these fixings on my burger. I don't need a bunch of things on my chicken sandwich. A lot of times, just give me a plain good chicken sandwich that you can get at Chick-fil-A or some of these places. Or how about the burger with just cheese and a couple of the basic fixings? I don't need lettuce. I don't need a tomato on my burger, okay? So keep it plain. Give me a McChicken plain or a Chick-fil-A plain chicken sandwich combo. There's a couple of mine before we start talking player combos. What do you got?
Oh, my gosh. Plain Jane. Oh, come on. I want all the fixings. I want the onions. I want the tomato. I want the mayo. I want the barbecue sauce. Give me everything and all of it. And you want to talk about famous combo meals right now, and I've got, and I love it because I'm starting to get my kids into it, is the Taco Bell Craving Box Combo with the chicken chalupa or the beefy five-layer burrito with a side of taco and some nice crispy cinnamon twists. That's a go-to in the Choppy Chop household. So I'm proud that my kids are carrying that on. But man, you can't go wrong with, like you said, the McDonald's large fry, Big Mac, 20-piece nugget combo. I don't even think they may put those in a combo. I got to get the combo, and then I add the 20-piece nugget. Because back in the day, I used to be able to put some food down. You know, back when calories didn't matter, and it didn't matter how much you ate or drank, you still stayed $1.75. But nowadays, you know, that doesn't work anymore. But And you know, speaking of Wendy's, you know, my go-to combo there was the spicy chicken sandwich. But you gotta side those combos with two, count them, two junior bacon cheeseburgers with that chicken combo. So give me that baked potato from Wendy's, not them fries. And give me that spicy chicken sandwich, and then give me the JBCs all day.
Oh, incredible. One of your better takes right there with all that Bula Bula you just named off. Two quick side notes. One you mentioned, one you didn't. Nowadays, if I'm really actually going to even have something, I can actually just go and just get a McDonald's large fry, and that's like a foreign delicatessen for me because I just don't ever do it up anymore like I used to back in the day. And then how about the Wendy's Frosty? Like, to me, don't give me a milkshake. Don't give me some beverage or a coffee. Give me a Frosty on a hot day or with a combo meal, and that's still an incredible thing that good old Wendy's popped out back in the day.
Man, the key is, Okri, do you dip your fries and your nuggies in the Frosty?
Nope. Whoever does that, you're weird. That's disgusting. Like, I get sometimes that, like, sweet and you know, like chocolate pretzels are good, but no, you can't be dipping hot fries in Frosties. We can't have that.
All right. We just had to make that clear. I agree with you, but there are some people in this household that do dip the fries in the Frosty. And I think it's probably just because I usually make them wait and eat their food first. So it's like a cheat code. Like, oh, if I dip my fry in the Frosty, oh, I'm still eating the fry, but... the Frosty's a go-to, man. I think, you know, they've changed them up a little bit now. They got the vanilla, they got some other flavors in there, but you got to get the chocolate Frosty, people. Like, that's the one that everybody wants. And I have to disagree with your shake take, because I love me a Chick-fil-A chocolate shake or strawberry shake. They are phenomenal. Don't sleep on those. That's a nice little dessert if you ever get through there. Get yourself a chicken sandwich and a strawberry shake.
Now, shakes are money, and they're good too, because you barely ever, like, you can't make them at home, you never get one. I'm just saying, if I got to pick between the two, I mean, I still think the Frosty is like this crazy mix of ice cream and shake together. But like those fry people, like, have those same people tell me when they like start putting like ice cream on their steak, and then we can talk. Because to me, that's exact same. That's exact same thing. Just two things that should never be on the same plate, never together, never dipped on each other. But Chops, we just gave the people like 5 minutes of Bula Bula fast food takes, neither of which that we partake in pretty much these days, being healthier and better. But you know, back in the day or every once in a while, a good combo is money in the bank. So I've done this the last couple of years where I've done like Lions draft combo meals, which means like top three rounds. What kind of player mixes can we get? What kind of value can we pick up? What needs can we fill? I know you're just like, you know, BPA only. You're just going to find Hall of Famers with every pick, regardless of position. But there are some needs we need to fill as well. So I thought we'd give the people, you know, some of these combo meals to think about and ways to approach the draft before we get there in basically 2 weeks.
I like it, Okri. I like it. Listen, you know, the people have heard us talk enough about food combos. They want to hear the Chops and Okri combo meal, player combo meals for our Detroit Lions. So I think let's get into it here. We got, you know, we got picks at 29. We got a pick at 61. We got a pick at 73. So those top three picks are definitely something that we're going to look to combo. And I'm excited and interested to hear. I even named my combos, Okri. So you better step up your game and make it worth it, because I got some fun stuff going on here.
Chops, I did not name my combos, was that I'm looking at them, which I did very quickly with my high-level elite draft acumen. I have like A's, A pluses, A minuses on all these combos. Not that you're surprised by that, you know what I mean? You know how I do, but I in no particular order, but this one maybe not my best because I only got an A on this one. My first combo meal is going to be Johnny Newton, the big defensive lineman, interior outside player from Illinois at 29. At 61, give me another big body, nasty get after the quarterback with Marshawn Nealon from Western Michigan. Local kid, big play outside, inside, physical, tough. And then a guy I don't love, but I'm just beefing up, just like that triple-decker McBacon McSwizzle at Wendy's. Give me another pass rusher. Give me Braylon Trice at 73. PFF thought those were A, and oh wait, let me look at this. Oh, another A for all those picks for a overall grade of A for the first Oakley combo meal.
All right. I'm not hating that combo meal. I got a counter to your combo meal, and I'll even tell you what the name of the combo is. It's called the Big Boys in the Trenches. All right, and we're gonna start that one out with a little bit of JPJ, locking it down on. With Penne for years and years and years. And now, round two, we're going to add, and again, I love this name, Rook, another big boy in the middle, just stuffing the run, helping out the trenches on the D-line. And again, I know you're going to laugh at how I said that name because we just love it. But anyway, and then the third piece of that combo meal, the big boys in the trenches combo meal, is Gabriel Murphy from UCLA, a nice guy on the edge. He's going to play the opposite side of Hutch. And those three boys are going to feast in the trenches.
Well, we did lose you there for a bit when you were going on and on about JPJ, but you were just spouting off about how he's going to be great with Penne, is I think what I picked up. And then you went into the kid from Clemson, the name we cannot speak of, but Rook was here for a local workout I saw on the old Twitter machine. And absolutely, then you went with Gabriel Murphy as well. I mean, again, he's intriguing, but he's not as intriguing as the Okri combo meal. You know, when you drive up to the old speaker where you can never hear the person and they rumble something off because they don't want to be working where they're working and or don't know what they're doing, and you just say, I'll just have a number two, please. This is the Okri number two combo. This is Latu, the edge from UCLA at 29. Give me a little spice, a little sizzle at 61 with Keon Coleman, the big old wideout from Florida State. Just looks like a specimen in the uniform. And then at 73, a player that I'm warming up to, he seems to be there about, you know, with that third pick, maybe even a little before or after. I know people don't think we need to add at linebacker, but that means you just must be set with Anzalone and D. Barnes. And yes, we got bodies there, but to me, Junior Colston is a nice prospect on a whole bunch of levels, from what he can do in the run, the pass game, get after the quarterback. He's young. He's just a good football player, and you know he's going to come in pro ready. So I'll go ahead and take myself a nasty linebacker, a possible WR1 type player, and the best edge rusher in the game with the Okri number two combo.
Nice. I like it. I also like that you sprinkled in a little Sparty and Michigan flavor in that draft there with your boy Coleman and Colston. I will give you the counter to that, and this combo we call some D in the D. And it does start with the same player that you just mentioned, your boy Latu from UCLA. I like that player. He's moving up the board. I like it. And then we're going to follow that guy up with some size in the middle with Chris Jenkins, another Go Blue Michigan player. And in round three, we're going to cap that some D in the D combo meal off with your boy Kyrie Jackson, cornerback, Oregon, for a three-piece defensive combo meal to stack with our Detroit Lions.
Chops, I often joke with you that I doze off during your takes, more for comedy than actuality, but we have fun with that on the show. I am trying to will our Red Wings to a victory. They're down 2-0 here while we're recording. It's not looking so good. I heard you say my boy Latu. I just want to say for the record, he's definitely not my boy, because I do still have some concerns, health concerns, and just the way he looks. He's not the big physical type that we're used to seeing. He's more of a leaner, you know, technical edge rusher, so you don't classify him as my boy, like, you know, Brian Branch. But who was the second guy you mentioned? Because I did kind of doze off during that part.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks, man. Hey, pay attention here. We're recording a podcast. There's no bigger Red Wings fan in the league than your boy, at Chops in the D. But I mentioned someone from our school, Michigan, Chris Jenkins.
Oh, Jenkins. Okay. I've warmed up to him. I still think one thing that I've been thinking about is with these combo meals, we got to consider what we already have. And, you know, Pascal and Jenkins and some of these other interior players we have, like, it's kind of, where do you put all these guys or how do you get them all on the football field? So, you know, but I do like Kyrie there as well that you got in the third pick. That was some nice stuff. So let's go a little bit. We got a little time here. We'll rip off a couple more combo meals. I got two more. Again, just for the record, my last one that read off was an A+ by PFF. And let's see, where do I want to go here with this one? Let me give this one. This one's basically all sizzle here, and this was one of my lower graded, which somehow I got an A- for this three-player combo meal, but I got a little kooky at 29. I don't see the Lions doing this, but I don't know that I'd be mad at it. I've heard a little, some negative about this player, but how about at 29, we just say screw it, and we take A.D. Mitchell, the fun, freaky, just looks the part in the uniform, go up, get the football type wide receiver. You know, PFF didn't love that much, gave me a B for that selection. At 61, I go ahead and take a guy that, you know, Jeff Risden, I think he loves Jonah Ellis as well as my boy that I took that first combo meal, Johnny Newton. But Jonah Ellis is a little bit lighter, but, you know, with his dad, or I believe it is, that play Luther used to play here, as well as just the way he can get after the quarterback. I think they could use him in some different ways instead of a big-time edge like Pascal and Hutch. And then, you know, I went ahead here and took Kyrie Jackson in the third, 73 as well. 6'2", corner, freaky, fun to watch. So both those picks, Ellison and Jackson, got me A's. So that brings me to an A- total. I saved my best combo, I think, for last. Choppy Chump. Well, I don't know. I like all these, to be honest. But that's Okri combo number three. I mean, that one's just like, throw the depth charts, throw the needs out, and just go get us a freaky wide out and let us have Saint, Mitchell, and J-Mo for the next, like, 5 years and just put up points every freaking game.
All right. Well, you know, since you threw, you know, your quote-unquote kooky combo there, I'm going to give you the I see Mizzou combo. And this, as you can guess, is full of folks from Missouri. With pick number one, I'm going your boy, Darius Robinson. Not Chomp Robinson. Darius Robinson. And then at pick 61, I'm going with a little bit of Innis Rakeshaw in the secondary. And then, you know what? I'm going to follow it right back up at 73 with Chris Abrams-Drain from Missouri. So we get a nice I see Mizzou combo. We got some edge speed. We got some corner help that we need. The locking up the secondary, and so that was just kind of fun and kooky.
Yeah, I'm shocked. You got the triple decker of Mizzou players in our combo meals here. You have done well with the. I definitely should have named mine a bit better, put a little more time in there. You know, Darius Robinson to me is a player too that's falling in my bucket of like. Is it good that he's similar to Pascal and Hutch, or do we want some of these lighter guys that I've been taking in these combos as a changeup or as a little bit different? It's really hard for me to tell if they're going to stick to the body comp, you know, that they've been doing, or do they have enough big body inside outside guys where now they need like technician speed edge rushers or defenders that just come from all angles. I really don't know. So, I mean, Rakeshaw, I've heard some negatives, but I still kind of like his physicality. Abrams drains another slot, so do you want to have another guy there when you've got Iffy, you've got Brian Branch, you've got, you know, our boy Kerbo, I mean, that can all do those same things, move around and play guys. I don't know, but I like that you comboed up all the Mizzou players. Let me see here. Again, I added a player in this last combo that you like that I don't really like, but he just happened to be the kind of top of the board, still wanted to fill that position, but not with a high need. So at 29, I mean, I got an A+ for this. I'm still sort of, I don't know. I'm a little hesitant on Cooper DeJean. He had a great showing here the last couple of days with his workout. We've obviously went to Iowa for multiple players, so I put that as a positive because he'd fit right in with his boys. Laporta and what's the other Iowa guy we invested in here recently that I'm skipping?
Jack Campbell.
Oh yeah, Reward. That's right. I think they would be a great combo together. I see him more as a safety, but I think you saw my tweet where I was like, if you get Cooper DeJean at 29, that's kind of like getting a corner safety and a returner all in one. So that's a positive for me. I bumped up my boy Kyrie Jackson to my pick at 6-1 because I see sometimes if you don't get him at 6-1, he's not there at 73. So I double dip on corners, wide chops, because it's a big need. We can't cover a coffee table, and I figure I just get it handled. So I went that route. And then at 73, I was like, let me continue to make a strength of strength. This guy doesn't have to play right away, but I want to say he was more of a left guard, which is kind of what I'm looking for, a little competition with Glasgow type of thing, not just giving him the keys to the car. Zeitler will be good for a couple years until they get rid of that. So I went ahead and took Christian Haynes there at 73. An A plus, a B for Kyrie, probably because it's 61 and it went up a little bit. And an A for your boy Christian Haynes there from Connecticut, interior offensive lineman. Again, rounds out to an A plus for the Oakley combo meal. Cooper DeJean, about as safe as they get. And I found that in the draft, if you can get a safe player that you don't have to worry about that has athleticism and is coached up well, he's probably going to be a pretty good pro. So that's been intriguing for me recently.
Yeah, my last couple of combos, I actually just kind of went with our first two picks just because of kind of the nature that they were. And so I called this combo, It's All About the O. And in this mock that I rolled out here, somehow, someway, Brian Thomas Jr. fell to us at 29, and I ran the card up to the podium as fast as the little mock draft simulator let me. It was just me, like, just get up there, slam the card down, bam, Brian Thomas Jr., Lion, nailed. And then the next one followed it up again. It's All About the O, and I went with Christian Hayes Haynes from UConn. So, again, Brian Thomas, Christian Haynes, I think the strength of strength on the O-line in the second round there. Another big, nasty freak wide receiver, an X guy to add to the fold with J-Mo and Amara. And I couldn't be happier with It's All About the O combo.
Oh, my goodness. That is definitely bold, no question. I don't know. You want to say, like, man, that would be really tough to see happen, but again, we're not putting anything against Brad. What's that nickname again?
Always open for business, Holmes.
And he's the king of the draft. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I've soured on Brian Thomas. I think I told you that. But yeah, you love him for me. I've went to more of the other wide receivers, Coleman, Mitchell, some of the other top guys that are out there. So I don't know, just something about Brian Thomas. He's a big body and he had a lot of production this last year, but it's just like something about him where I didn't scream star, or I just didn't love. But
1,100 yards and 17 touchdowns is just terrible. It's so bad. That's
I literally just said he had crazy production, which is all you look at. I look at his interview and he seemed kind of like a goof or a guy that didn't like, hey, I can run fast and go far, but I can't do much else, even though his interview was like, I can't wait to run more routes. It's like, you probably didn't run more routes because they told you to do the go, the fade, and the haul ass, and those are only three routes you got. But neither here nor there. He might be a hell of a player. We'll see what happens. You got another combo, or are you set? You heading through the drive through to pay at the window?
No, I got another little – I get a little mini combo here, and actually it's kind of funny. I called this one the – seconds anyone, and that's because it's strictly addressing the secondary. And we're going back to your boy Cooper DeJean there with the first pick. He happened to be there. And then out of nowhere, I don't know how this happened, but I got a sneaky feeling that Mikey Sandersill may be the guy who falls down a little bit. And guess what? The Lions swoop right in there and they grab him at 61. And you get Cooper and Sandersill and you lock up the secondary and you just put a bow on it. And yes, we want seconds, people, because give me those two picks at 29 and 61 on our Lions.
And that one, you just had the two. You didn't have a third guy in there?
Nope, nope. It was just seconds, anyone. Two picks, two rounds in the secondary.
All right. I love those. Those would be very safe. Again, very productive players, guys you never have to worry about. It'd be good. I still not putting it past the whole regime either to have a couple things up their sleeve and really, like, make this one for Detroit to remember. You know, everyone's thinking, oh, they might trade out, not make a pick. Oh, they might just go with a safe player of some sort. They might really say, we're in center stage. Why not do something big, either with trades, moves, or just a big swing, either on obtaining a big player or doing something crazy that gets everybody talking. You know, I wouldn't put anything against them. So, Chops, man, we really got into not only the combos, but probably a little bit too much fast food talk before we got going, but that's 30 minutes of draft content for people. Only how we can do it here on the Kool-Aid Cast. Drink it in, everybody.
Drink it in, man.
Side of cornbread.
Cornbread.
Make it a double.
Cornbread.
Chops, we got to get our sponsors in here, man. Lots of people supporting the show, both with listener support, all our great sponsors you guys hear. It keeps the show rolling. And then come back, man. It's going to be Okri Mock, like 6.0, 7.0, 1820 versus the Choppy Mocky. Like, what's this? 2.0 for you? Second one you put out, I think?
Listen, I do more mocks than I put out there. And, you know, yeah, that's right. There's, like you said, it's probably the second or third that I've published, but... No, the draft mock simulator is going nonstop in the choppy office. So don't you worry, people. I got good stuff for you on the way.
All right, should be fun. Lots of selling going on between our different mocks for the people, as well as why we're right and you're wrong and vice versa. So everybody, please listen to our sponsors. Please go check them out. We come back. The mock draft battle, Detroit Kool-Aid style. Everybody, we'll be right back.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, everybody, this goes out to my fantasy football fans out there. Now, you probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners can build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? I mean, we're talking free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie drafts, multi-team trades. You can put franchise tags on guys. It's as close as you're going to get to being an NFL GM. But do you think it sounds complicated? It's not. I'm here to tell you it's the best thing about Reality Sports Online is it's just more fun than your normal fantasy league, but it doesn't take barely any more time. After all this, are you still not sure? I mean, come on now. You can test your general manager skills by going over to Reality Sports Online, call it RSO. Please go check out realitysportsonline.com right now. Kool-Aid drinkers are back. Thank you so much for those sponsors, Reality Sports Online, Spotify. Who else we got? Our boy Notorious DET with the merch. We always talk about Lions on Tap. All the other great sponsors you hear on iTunes, Spotify as well. They usually play different sponsors for our show. That helps a ton, as well as all you guys that have done listener support. Really appreciate that from I know the man that we call the Tuna reached out, and he just wanted to support what we're doing and loves the show and was very generous, so appreciate him. He's also gonna purchase a game or two, I think, of my Lion season tickets, which I put out to a lot of you out there. I usually go to one game, maybe two, but the rest of them try to go to friends, family, listeners, whoever wants to ante up and get themselves into a ball game. So I think the Tuna is going to go to a couple games in my seats, so that'll be fun for him and his son. But Chappie, if you got any shouts, go for it, or we'll get into this mock draft battle, my man.
Okri, I think you hit the big ones this week. We got a lot to get into with this mock draft. Choppy Mocky versus Okri, you know, 477.7 mock here. So we ran a little long on the first segment, so let's just dive right into this mock draft battle. Chops versus Okri.
We will do that. I got to admit, man, I was torn, because when I knew we were doing this, and there's no real great way to do it live. I know you did one here on the show, but no real way for us to go back and forth. You know, I'm using the PFF. I think you using a different type platform. So there's that, where you've already skewed the results. But PFF, I swear, like, I go through them, and like, it's my whole thing is just what we did as exercise. It's always the not who I can draft at the first or second pick, but how can I combo these up so that it looks great when I'm all said and done. So I definitely went through a lot of machinations, a lot of different combos. Again, you can do these very quickly, but you got to know who to take, when to take them, where to take them. So before we even get into this thing, I'm looking at two Okri mocks right in front of me, one with an A grade. Let me scroll over to this other one that I saved. Oh, wait, an A grade. So I'm trying to still decide which one I want to take against you in the mock draft battle here. Do you want to hear the first selection for the Okri mock here in the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast Draft Spectacular mock draft battle?
Yeah, before we get into that, I really want to comment on this, these self-proclaimed grades you're giving yourself. Like, oh, PFF says that I got a B+ on this pick. And I'm like, dude, that's, like, you want to tout that around, you go ahead and just keep touting your A's. And they're probably not even A's. They're like B+. You don't, the people know. But, yeah, that's fine. Keep telling yourself you're getting A's and B's. And Brad Holmes will tell you you got a D-. But that's okay. Yes, let's get into it. Are we going to go back and forth, your pick versus my pick? Are we going top three? How do you want to do the format, buddy?
I just want to know, is that D- from Brad Holmes to me, or to us, or to everybody that doubted him, and then he ended up getting an A? Or was it just me that was off when he's taking running backs and basic linebackers in the draft? I just want to make that clear, just in case he comes back in any of us.
No. I mean, he's keeping receipts, and the D pluses he's handing out is to all the people, not just Chops and Oak. We know he listens to the show. He'd probably rate ours like a C, but the media folks and everyone else, they're getting D's.
Exactly. And the other thing that you killed me on, I mean, again, these are pro football focused grades. These are people that all they do is look at every play of every game. Like, they're grading, they're watching, they have like a stacked board. I mean, I don't even know where you got your draft from. Some Bula Bula site that Frank Ribble uses, I think, is what you did. But neither here nor there. Let's go ahead and get into this with the 29th pick in the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast Draft Spectacular Mock Draft Battle against the Choppy Mocky. The Okri Mock selects Cooper DeJean from Iowa at 29. A+ grade, by the way. Who did you select at 29, Chops? I just got myself a guy that can play corner, safety, return. I'm going to have no off-the-field issues. He's going to fit in with the Iowa boys. I was happy he was there. He fits a bunch of needs. Can very versatile, as we know. A very intentional pick by my team. Love getting this player at 29. He's going to fit right in, play from day one, do some nice things for our team.
All right, well, this is definitely not going to go fast. All right, with the 29th pick, the Choppy Mocky selects Darius Robinson from Missouri for all the reasons that we've outlined for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Love this kid, love this player, can't wait to have him on the Lions.
I still love the kid. I love the player. He's too far down in a lot of the mocks I do, and I don't want to reach for the value, especially because I got a guy named Josh Pascal that I want to get a lot of PT, and I've started to feel like they're similar, as I said earlier. But you're not going to have any issues with him off the field, but it may be a little bit of a redundant pick. Chops with the second selection at 61 of the Okri mock. We select wide receiver Keon Coleman for the Detroit Lions. And to me, how many times have I said on the show, you need to wait on receivers. There's a lot of good receivers. Don't be tempted early. To me, Keon Coleman brings things the Lions need. They don't have. It puts the offense over the top. It's a guy that looks the part, a guy that I think Brad Holmes might view as an absolute talent. And if he can get him at 61, I think that's too good to pass on. So I did what Brad, always open for business, Holmes would do as the draft king. I took value. It was too good to pass on. I think this guy would come in, make plays, be exciting, and put this offense absolutely unbelievable.
Not bad, not bad. I mean, you know the reason that guy went to Michigan State is because he couldn't get into Michigan, right? I just want to let you know that. But anyway, so the Chops pick at 61 is Christian Hayes, versatile offensive lineman, interior lineman from UConn. Again, I just love this player. I think that adds to his strength. He was there at 61, and I was happy to snag him up and continue to build through the trenches.
So Chops, part of this mock draft battle is obviously beating up the other person for their picks because we want to prove that our picks are superior. Well, where are you going to play Christian Haynes? Because last time I looked, we got Zeitler. You just paid your boy Glasgow. The other three players, I don't know if you've heard of them, are Decker, Ragnow, and Penei Sewell. I mean, high second rounder, you're taking a player, just sit him around and see what happens. I told you in the combo meals, if I can get him in the third pick, maybe I'd consider that. But I can't have my second rounder sitting over there handing out Gatorade, learning when we're trying to win a Super Bowl. So.
And this is, you know what? I knew you're, I was waiting and waiting and waiting for you to bring up this point. And my counterpoint to this was, this is what good teams do, Oak. Will you realize that we were one quarter of half away from winning, going to the Super Bowl? Good teams take great players and build on their strengths. Okay? So none of those players on the offensive line played 16 games last year that are going to be around. Aging Zeitler, aging Glasgow. I'm not saying they're going to get hurt, but I want to be prepared if something happens. And Christian Haynes is a guy that I can plug in from day one and get, he's ready to go. So guy gets nicked up and misses a game, no big deal. And again, he can play multiple positions. This is what good teams do. They back up their strengths and they're ready to go.
You just took Kobe Soares out last year for that same reason. Now you got two backup interior players that you hope can play tackle, you hope can play guard, and none of them have shown much. Like, I was not wowed by Christian Haynes at the combine. He looked like a squatty, big, you know, backside interior player. He didn't wow me at all. He's like, oh, okay, he's got arms, he's got this. He didn't look like a ball player to me, like my boy Mahogany.
He didn't last year either, buddy. Hate to remind you, Jack Campbell didn't wow you either. So,
all right. Well, that's my defense again. We all know everybody's going to love the Okri mock better, regardless of what I say about yours. But you know,
we're going to put it up to the people too.
At pick 73, I mean, you want to talk about value? I absolutely love when my boy Kyrie Jackson is there. I waited. I actually got a corner safety combo meal plus with my first pick, but then in my third pick to get another corner was too good to pass up. A grade from PFF. Like I said, sometimes you got to take him at 61. I get him all the way at 73. My secondary is bolstered. I may or may not be done adding to that position because last time I checked, we're great on offense. We're good on the offensive line. We're good on the defensive line. We got other defenders, other positions. But we need cover outside corners. I got two guys that can do that already and still might be adding. There we go.
Yeah, I like it. I actually like it. I have really no negative to say about that because I'd be happy. He actually was gone when I did this mock, and so I stayed true to it. And so to address my secondary with the 73rd pick, Choppy Maki took Chris Abrams' drain. Another Mizzou player, actually started out as a receiver, fun fact. 5'11", a PFF score this season of 85.8. And I think he helps us out the secondary quite well here with the Lions.
This is another Jeff Risden of Lions Wire favorite, as well as others. I, again, think it's a little redundancy with another slot player. You need to let my boy Brian Branch do some things. You need to let our other guys do their thing. But, again, adding a guy like that at the third round seems like pretty good value. Chops, I might have messed up here. I might not have, because I guess in my view, like, Cooper DeJean is more of a chess piece, you know, play the three safety role, you know, figure out where he fits as a top corner on this team or whatever. Kyrie's got that size and length. But I like double and triple down. I pick 164, and this is what you got to realize, people. 73, you know, picking in the third round. Don't pick again till 164. That's why that third round pick is so important. But in the fifth round, I mean, I've been getting, like, you know, the center from Michigan, or, you know, the Luke McCaffreys are there. But with me taking Keon Coleman, I didn't have to worry about any of that. 164 in the fifth round, I went and got this kid who I'm still reading up on and doing some work on. But again, he's a big corner, plays outside, gets his hands on the football. Dwight McGovern from Arkansas. Yes, that's two, maybe call it three corners in my top four selections, which opens me up to then fill other needs with my last three picks. So I'm going corner heavy. You want to know why, Chops? Because we can't cover a coffee table. Because we got lit up down the season, and we can't have that happen again.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm just waiting for you to finish the pick 249 with your boy Monroe from that school, that teeny little school, so you can have four corners in the draft.
There
but,
we go.
I don't hate the player, but I'm not sure where I'm seeing your strategy here. But that's okay. That's neither here nor there. Pick 164 in the Choppy Maki. This guy was here. I was happy to take him. This is a round where Brad, always open for business, Holmes loves to take wide receivers. And with this pick, he takes Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver from Rice. He's got the pedigree. He's got the bloodline, as you like to say. And this kid's ready to ball. And I would love to add him into the mix, into that wide receiving core.
I like the player. I like his safe pick. I don't know what he'll be at the next level. But you know who doesn't like that pick? Because I've done it in mock drafts and I get like D's grades. Or even lower, PFF. They don't like that selection whatsoever. But I'm more with you, I guess, than them on that thing. But I did you one better, Chop, because I waited till 201. What's that, like 40-some selections later? I got ourselves a 6'3", 215-pound wideout to go with Keon. So I'm just doubling down on corners and pass catchers. You want to know why? Because we couldn't cover anybody last year, and because if we add another couple pass catchers, we are going to score 40 a game and just whoop teams in the new NFL the way we should. So give me DeCorian Clark, UTSA. I love the value. PFF gives it a B+. I'm just adding playmakers at that point because I'm pretty much good everywhere else.
So let me get this straight. With your fifth pick, you have now taken three guys in the secondary and two wide receivers?
Yes.
Is that right? Am I writing this down right? Okay, cool. Cool, cool. Yeah, I think the people will let you know how much they like that one. So anyway, let me get to an actual pick that and a draft mock draft that makes some sense here. The Choppy Maki, whatever, at pick 201, the Chops Mock decides to take Dylan Johnson, running back from Washington, because another position player that in a position that isn't necessarily a need, but it's great to have depth. We all love Netflix Craig, but Dylan Johnson is a player that could do something in the next at the next level, and I'd be excited to have him with the Lions at 201.
And that was the injured player in the national championship that the Michigan Wolverines won. Is that right? That's the guy that couldn't play, couldn't get on the field, couldn't stay healthy, hurt all throughout the... Okay. And it's also a running back, right? So you took a running back when we've got a multi-dimensional, positionless, elite weapon, along with Demo, right?
No. D-Money!
Okay, so you upped me by taking a running back. Good stuff there. Let's go ahead and show you why I was able to take DB help, whether it be safety or corners, and then load up my receiving core so that we can just light up chumps on the scoreboard. Because at 205, I got one of my favorite picks. This guy plays the right guard, the left guard, the center. He comes from a school that all they do is put out offensive line talent. Give me my boy Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin. He's the type of guy that you can tuck away at pick 205. Let him learn. Let him find whatever position he's best at or where we need the most help. Plug him in if needed. If not, he'll hand out Gatorade and laugh it up on the sidelines while he learns and while some of our older players exit their way out. Interior versatility at 205 rather than where'd you take one? At 61? Okay, I'm just curious. Just want to make sure. That's how you draft.
Are you done now? Okay.
I'm done.
So at pick 205, the Choppy Maki, I'm gonna bring up a name that we actually haven't talked about. Here at on the pod at all, and with the 205th pick, the Choppy Maki takes Christian Boyd from Northern Iowa. This kid actually came across my radar the other day. 6'4", 317 pounds. He had a season rating of 89 on the old PFF, and they've got him ranked as 145th. Player. This is another project guy I like on the inside interior. He can play the A gap. He can play the B gap. He was a 3-year starter. He was a redshirt senior this year. And I like some of the film that I watched him. Highlights that I liked from his game. Played more than 10 games every year for the last 3 years. And another nice little pick there on the Choppy Maki Lions, Christian Boyd.
Oh, Choppy. We've got me taking a little bit of a BPA aggressive approach in this mock draft battle because I threw out some of the interior needs. I threw out some of the big bodies that people would normally see me draft because I focused on where we need help, where the league is going. And then here at 249, which is my throwaway pick where I normally take my corner, Monroe from Tulane, as you said, I'm sitting here and I'm just like, Tanner McClellan, the big tight end I told you about that can block, catch. He's kind of got a lot of buzz going on right now. I can take him. Okay, why are you taking a tight end? We've got Laporta. We just brought back Chops' favorite guy, Brock Wright. Because I can't assume that Sammy Biscuits is going to be good all the time. I think Brock Wright is just Brock Wright. He's a serviceable blocking type player. So I'm going to go ahead and take another piece in this tight end room so I don't have to have Zerline or whoever else we got on our team, Zylstra, whatever his name is, out there, even though he's not bad when healthy. I think he, you know, tore his whole leg off a year or two ago, so we'll see how he is. Another injured player that we just keep hanging on to. Give me Tanner McClellan there. B-minus grade at 246 to add to my tight end room. So yes, Chops, that's double wide receivers, three DBs, a interior player that can play center guard on either side and maybe even kick out the tackle, and then a tight end at 249. Not a conventional Okri mock, but getting ball players that I think can fit in and help.
You know what? I'm just going to let the people go ahead and comment on this one. We're going to post these up here. They can give their takes. They can tell how bad we were, how good we were, whether they liked it, whether they loved it. Listen, that's a mock, Oak. That's definitely a mock. You know, three corners, two wide receivers, and a tight end. You know, hey, I'm happy that you put that one up here on the show for the people to see. It's a little unconventional, a little different. Some names that we hadn't thrown out there, so you know, I'll give it the old golf clap.
All right. Well, while you're beating it up and while you're doing that, before you put the people to sleep with another interior offensive lineman, whoever you're going to take for your selections, let me just recap the grades very quickly. A plus, B+, A, B, B+, C, B-. You know what that average is, Chops? I know you're great with math. You love your analytics. That's an overall A grade for the Detroit Lions and the Oakry mock draft here in the battle of me versus you, the stooge.
Yes, you know that if you take the highest ranked PFF player at every at any position, regardless of what team you're drafting with, PFF is going to give you a score based on their ranking, right? Like, not how it fits the team, not how what your team needs. It's just like, oh, he's the highest ranked? He's the 144? Yeah, I'm going to take him. Oh, I don't need a quarterback. Well, it doesn't matter. I got J.J. McCarthy. A+, people! Woo! Like, you don't need J.J. McCarthy. But that's fine. You want to stick to your PFF grades that are not relevant to the team that you're drafting with? That's great. What I'm going to do is actually look at players, break them down, and look at what our actual team needs. And with that pick, with the 249th pick, the Choppy Mocky takes Josh Wallace, cornerback, Michigan. I pair that guy up with the cornerback I took earlier in Abrams Drain, and I am looking good in my secondary. Again, he doesn't have to come in and start right away like the world on fire, but he can continue to develop and be the player that I know and think that he can be. Oh, look, hang on a second. Let me look. Oh, the random mock grader that I got here, let me just pull those grades up. Let's see. A+, A+, A-, A+, 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 A. Oh, what is that average, Oakry? Oh, that's right. No one cares.
Well, no one cares about yours because that was from the Frank Ribble School of mock draft websites that are free for people that don't know about drafting, that will always give A pluses and leave people in the fourth round that won't be there after the second. That's what you did there. But I get it. I mean, you had to do that. I just want to clarify with you that, so you're saying the Oakry mock, that we don't need coverage players on our defense, we don't need explosive wide receiver talent, and we don't need interior offensive linemen or possibly tight end depth. Is that correct? That seems to be what you inferred there in your last rant.
What I inferred is that your combination of players that you picked at the positions that you picked at don't really seem to fit how Brad Holmes drafts or what the team really needs. But hey, again, it's a mock draft. So you went unconventional. You wanted to get some change it up a little bit here and there. Like, I'm not going to hate it. Again, we do hundreds of these people. So it's definitely a strategy to have no strategy and just try to get an A on a draft. So I applaud you for that strategy. It's not the approach that I took, but hey, I think the people will determine which one likes better. Of course, we know PFF likes yours with your, you know, make-believe grades. Congratulations.
I just like to be able to cover wide receiver and also put more points on the board, and I think I accomplished those two things first and foremost. So we'll see how it shakes out. Again, normally I like to add big bodies early. I told everybody you got to get corners early. Imagine that. That's what I did in this mock for my team. I got other positions later. That's what's available. Both of our scores, like you say, could be bula bula, could be good. You never know till you hit the football field, but a fun exercise nonetheless. And of course, because I love all the loyal, diehard Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers, the people.
And the people consist of the millions.
That's from the final boss, The Rock. I will still do a fresh, a crispy Oakry mock, like 8.0 here on Friday, just so everybody can just butter that up with love as well.
Can't be any worse than this one. I can't wait to see Oakry mock 8.0.
Well, everybody, we did combo meals. We talked about fast food. Jerseys are coming by next week. We've got draft setup being done. The draft is in Detroit in like 2 weeks. And I destroyed the Choppy Mocky both by giving him great salient points of why his made no sense, and then defending mine of why I focused on areas of weakness and got ball players. So I think we've accomplished everything we pretty much need to, which is prove my brilliance and knock down all your bula. Anything else, Chops, before we get up out of here?
No, I'm excited to get this out to the people. And people, continue to put out your mock drafts. Tag us in them. We'll grade them. We'll take a look at them. I think it's fun. Like, you know, we're going to post up these mocks that we did. Maybe get a little interaction with a poll. We got to get a poll right?
We'll see if we do that.
Chose my mock draft last year. Just saying.
I don't necessarily like to do those because usually they call up your family and friends and figure out how to skew the results, and then that's all you talk about. Kind of like that fantasy championship you won in like 08 against me that you hold over my head still. You know, that's usually how you
the
how
one
you, work,
you keep
so.
Bringing up I've never brought up on the show. Yeah.
We kind of hide away from these things that you can then brag about for decades afterwards, even though the results are questionable to say the least. But
yeah, you're afraid of the people. That's fine. Just say it, Oker. You're afraid. To let the people tell it like it is. You know they're going to pick the right map, so you can hide. Sure, that's fine.
Well, we will see what happens. TBD, if you ask me, but we'll see. Everybody, that's what we got for this week. Drink it in, double-sided cornbread, and we'll catch you next week right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. Take care, everybody. We're out.
Choppy Mocky wins.
Pack the bag. Start the plane. This game is over. It is over. What a comeback by the Lions.
Drink it in, man.